You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello and welcome to Just Women with me, Ivana O'Brien, introducing some more great interviews recorded remotely by myself and fellow presenters Jackie Mitchell and Mandy Dineley. Jackie Mitchell chats to Emily Hughes, who runs Parent Guide to GCSE, helping parents to equip teenagers with the mindset and skill set to succeed at GCSE, A-level and beyond. She's also written a book called GCSE Survival Guide for Parents and appeared on ITV's Good Morning Britain. I spoke to a very talented young lady, Eleanor Ramona, about, amongst other things, women's safety and also about why she feels so inspired to write and compose music. But firstly, Mandy Dineley chats to Mandy Elliott, who founded the Focus Academy in 2017, a company dedicated to assisting students of all ages with attention training and study skills.
So welcome, Mandy.
Thanks very much for having us, Mandy. The two Mandys.
Yeah, two Mandys, and spelt the same way, which is really unusual. Because usually one's with an I or it's Amanda that's changed. Are you a Mandy or a Amanda?
I'm an Amanda by birth.
Ah, I see. And I'm not. And I always wanted to be.
Oh,
I
like it. You can have it.
Oh, welcome to the show, Mandy. Now, for the sake of our listeners, it's lovely if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, your background. And even though I touched on how you got to be doing what you're doing today, perhaps you could explain that a little more for us.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. Essentially, my daughter was diagnosed in primary school with ADHD. We always had the remarks from the school about she made careless mistakes, and if she just focused in class or she just paid attention, then, you know, she'd be fine. Through all the investigations that we'd been through, we figured out that, you know, she had probably a really decent level of intelligence, a high IQ. And I always questioned the teacher with regards to the mismatch, with regards to what she was achieving versus what she was actually capable of. And I never really got any answers. Then we relocated from another country. Abby happened to have to go straight into year seven. And the year was basically, it was a dog show. The wheels fell off completely. She averaged at the end of the year about 22% average across the board. It was horrendous. And so I went looking for solutions to help her. I thought if it was a study skills course, maybe that might help her. But the problem was she couldn't remember anything. So I happened to stumble across a product. We did an assessment on her. She was clearly inattentive, but the reason for her being inattentive was because she couldn't filter auditory and visual distractors properly. So, for example, if she was seated at the back of a class, all that activity that was taking place in front of her was too much of a distraction. She couldn't filter. So then she'd go off daydreaming and, you know, she'd miss whole lots of information that was being taught. So once we figured that out, we put a cognitive skills training program in place for her. And, you know, I'm pleased to say after a number of sessions, we started seeing significant change. We started seeing reports back from the school saying Abby's focus in class is incredible at the moment. Keep it up, the good work. We saw the fact that her memory was changing. She was retaining more information. We saw her self-esteem change. So she was no longer acting out in the class clown because she was trying to detract from the fact that she didn't know things. She was now starting to put her hand up in class and she was getting answers right. So the self-esteem changed. And it was really an incredible journey for her to see where she was versus where she went and where she is. And that's ultimately how the business was born. It was about the fact that I found something that's pivotally changed my life and my daughter's life. And even though my daughter had a diagnosis of ADHD, I don't believe it to be fully correct. And I think there's a challenge with the ADHD diagnostic process currently. And I think there's many children that are being medicated unnecessarily, because it's essentially, if our children have an inability to sit still, remember things and pay attention properly, effectively, then it's pointing to the fact that there's cognitive skill weaknesses. So the cognitive skills such as short-term memory, working memory, the ability to filter out distractions, auditory, visual ones. There's many, many things that get taken into consideration.
Yeah, I honestly, what you're saying, it resonates with me a lot for many different reasons. And I do agree with you. I think that there are a lot of misdiagnoses out there. And I think it's easy, and I'm not taking anything away from those who are, do have ADHD, but I think those misdiagnoses can be quite life-changing, really. And I think if there are other ways to get help, which obviously the Focus Academy offers, then, you know, that's incredible. And I think it's just getting that message across, isn't it? Because people think that these are experts. They know everything what they talk, you know, everything they're saying. But actually, there are experts all over. We just have to be open.
Absolutely.
And I think open to change. So can I ask you how long it took for for you to start seeing the changes once you started implementing some of the program?
Normally what we advise parents is we start seeing small changes somewhere between 12 and 15 sessions. And essentially what that is it's a little bit about, I'm not quite sure if it's a coincidence, but this happened today. And parents will turn around and say, well, I'm not quite sure if it's just the fact that he's now starting to get older or she's now, paying attention better at school. But then we can never really pinpoint it back to training. But if you think about, I don't know, a 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old child who's been a certain way for all their life, and then suddenly things start changing, the only thing that's changed is you put them on the program, there's a really good chance it's because of us. But we can't guarantee that, obviously. But so the change, small incremental changes, it starts happening 12 to 15 sessions. And depending on the child and the brain and the challenges that we might be seeing, they become more concrete at 20 sessions, at 30 sessions and so forth. So, we've recently had a dad who came in and was a bit of a naysayer and a non-believer about the assessment we had with his little boy. We've literally just had a 20 session feedback with him, and he is now the parent who brings his child and will make sure his child comes to class, because they've seen such an extensive change in him and the child's ability. And yet the boy didn't have a diagnosis. It was just the fact that they knew that the boy was struggling in some areas. And he's only a little six-year-old boy, but he was struggling, and they thought, they've got two children, and they knew that one was different to the other. So let's see. And you know what? They're now sort of, you know, some of our biggest fans, which is amazing to see, and always
that
have.
It must be so rewarding. So how does it work, Mandy? So do you go to them, or do they come to you, and do they have so many lessons a week, or is it all quite flexible?
It's two sessions a week. We've got a training centre in Fleet, and we're obviously open to parents in other areas who, if it's a logistical problem for them and they want to start up their own business doing what we do in their area, they're more than welcome to we're happy to, you know, have that discussion. And it's basically two sessions a week, 45 minutes. And yeah. That will probably give us a good starting point. And we do run through the summer holidays, because the summer holidays is the most important time to keep our children's brains working for ready by the time that they get to September.
Yeah, because I guess, you know, when you go to school, the teachers do an amazing job. They do an incredible job, but they're teaching everybody in the class the same way. And of course, we all learn in different ways. I know I learn in a different way. I know that it takes me 3 or 4 times to learn something that somebody can learn quickly once. They don't have to, I have to keep doing it. So by repetition, that's how I learn. And actually physically doing stuff myself as well helps me, writing it down. And yet, I suppose the majority in a class will learn a certain way. And I think it's those children, isn't it, that seem to fall off and could really benefit from, you know, from the Focus Academy's
I think
help.
Ultimately, the long and the short of it is this program is not just for individuals who have got a suspected diagnosis or are diagnosed with autism, ADHD, ADHD and dyslexia and so forth. This is technology that gets used in astronaut training programs and with athletes who are trying to, you know, get their focus and peak performance. This is something that our children of today, we know that they're struggling. Yes, can it be blamed to lockdown? Absolutely. However, those struggles were always there. They've just been exacerbated. You probably would have had feedback from the school saying, you know, he just needs to focus in class, or maths is a really big challenge for him and he just has a problem with the problem solving capabilities and so forth. And so if you're seeing challenges with your child, irrespective of what you know, if there's a diagnosis or not, let's have a chat. And because that's ultimately where it starts. I can just give you some information, some facts, and, you know, you can make a decision from there. If, you know, just having a few sessions with us could be something that could be a benefit.
And I'm looking at, I was reading about, you know, the things that you do. And one thing that did surprise me, and I love this, is that you work with individuals from 6 to 99 years. I mean, I'm sure you'd stretch it to 100 if needed. But I just feel that life is for learning. And I love the fact that you cover adults as well, because, you know, I struggled with education when I was younger, and I've learnt to overcome a lot of challenges myself. If only I'd had your help sooner, I might have achieved some things a little sooner in life. Then, you know, okay, it's later in life now, but I see that you help people, you know, who have all sorts of things: autism, dyslexia, epilepsy, tinnitus. I mean, my son had epilepsy, chronic pain, stroke victims, dementia patients. I just think you cover so much ground, and I do, you know, I think this is a really good message to get across to people.
I think we've also just had a recent enrollee who happens to be 76 years old, and basically her memory was starting to have an impact on her life, where she was, you know, she knew full well that she wasn't remembering things. Her family around her saying, "Mom, I've just told you this. We've had this conversation 5 times. And so she's actually, it's a very recent enrollment, so we're not starting to see change yet. But, you know, she's embracing the training and she's taking it on, and she's doing amazing things. And I think we have had another case study, though, of another branch of ours, not specifically our branch, but there was a 76-year-old lady who cognitively was going in a significant decline, and was aiming towards being rehomed in a, you know, a cognitive impaired facility. She did training with this other branch of ours for, I think she was doing training for about 8 months, and she saw improvements to such an extent that there is, her family and her have agreed that there is no need to be investigating and, you know, going into a facility, and that she can continue to live independently. And that is quite critical.
And that's amazing, because if you can delay that, it might be inevitable, it might not be, but I think a lot of people assume it's inevitable that they, you know, these lovely people will need to go into care. But if you can delay that by this, you know, stimulation, then I think that's amazing.
Absolutely.
I mean,
even in terms of epilepsy, the neurofeedback is what we do. And neurofeedback research has actually determined that, depending on the type of epilepsy, of course, but the need for medication can be reduced by 2/3. And what we need to remember is all these things, all these diseases or challenges that you mentioned in that shopping list, which is great that what we work with, they all happen in that frontal cortex part of the brain, which is where all the levels of attention are, the ability to process information, the ability to remember things. That all centres there. We've even had a chronic pain student who enrolled with us. She enrolled with us for attention issues. She was discharged from the paediatric unit of Southampton CRPS, chronic complex regional pain syndrome, on crutches. She started with us in the September. By the following June, she was running races in the school sports day and winning. The other thing is, she's also enrolled now in dancing and gymnastics, which was not an option before. So it's about essentially rewiring the brain, because the message is what when the brain struggles with things, it's because the message isn't getting through from point A to point B properly. So we're making that connection stronger to change how we work.
So would you, if you work with chronic pain, you'd work with people that have things like fibromyalgia and things like that?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's really interesting. Now, my son had epilepsy, but he had Rolandic epilepsy, which is the only epilepsy that you can actually grow out of, which he did. It's been many years now, and but he was on medication, and his learning ability definitely changed, we felt. And it's since he's been off for quite a few years now, we've noticed the change, you know, it's positive changes. But I can see that what you do is so valuable. And Mandy, we're running out of time. Can you believe it? We've got about a minute left.
I could talk for hours. I'm really sorry.
Oh, no, don't you be sorry. You know, I should be more in control of this, but I just love... Is there anything, before you give us the details how we can get in touch with you, is there anything that you wanted to say, to share about what you do, any important message before we go on to your contact details?
I think if you have a child or a loved one who is struggling with anything cognitively, and they're struggling to remember, they're struggling to focus and pay attention, they're really easily distracted, the long and the short of it is, it won't get better. The struggle will continue, and their academic life, if they're children, will continue to be a struggle for them. Don't leave it. Help them, because it doesn't have to be that way. Change is absolutely possible.
And it's the rest of their lives, isn't it, as well, that can be impacted. I think what you do is brilliant, Mandy. You have to come back. But before we go, could you leave us with how our listeners can get in touch with you, website, LinkedIn, email, etc.?
Sure. You can get me on the Focus Academy. So it's www.thefocusacademy.co.uk. By all means, call me at any time, 07484 704 917. Contact details are on the website if you need anything further, or you want to drop us a message. You know, we've got a Facebook page. Look for us there. Same on LinkedIn. Look for me there. I'm a Zen crusader and so a vigilante who wants to go out and change the world.
Oh, Mandy, I love that. I just wish I'd met you sooner. My children have all finished school, but actually, who knows? We might need you later on, because
you never know. You
help adults as well, which is music to my ears. So, Mandy, thanks for coming on. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll see you hopefully in about 6 months or whenever.
Sounds amazing. Thanks so much, Mandy.
Thank you.
I think there's definite demand at the moment, particularly in schools, for this cutting-edge technology. Stay with us, as after our ad break, Jackie Mitchell will be chatting to Emily Hughes about the support she provides to parents to enable their children to succeed in exams.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio.
Very missed you guys, honestly. Trying to style it out. But...
This is so nice. Be even nicer on the sofa. It's only Josie and Mark. They look fine. But you can't always tell with COVID, can you?
I'm just going to go grab some blankets.
As we gradually come out of lockdown, meet outside. You're much safer in the fresh air because COVID-19 particles are blown away. Let's take this next step safely.
I'm so glad you're open.
Thank goodness you're here.
Do you ever close?
Did you know the pharmacy at 20 Church Street, Weybridge is open 100 hours every week to meet your immediate medical needs? We're here for you from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. weekdays, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturdays, and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sundays. Our friendly and knowledgeable team can provide you with the advice you need, as well as helping you with repeat prescriptions, all the over-the-counter products you would expect, and if you can't get in to visit us, we will deliver to you. The Pharmacy, 20 Church Street, Weybridge. We're here when you need us, 100 hours every week.
Hello, my name's Sarah Chaplin, and every Thursday night I host a show called Jazz London Live at 10 o'clock until midnight, and each week I play a selection of jazz, funk, fusion and Latin. I feature an interview in the first hour of the show with somebody on the British jazz scene, a gig guide rounding up the gigs in the week to come, and in the second hour of the show there's Album of the Week, in which I play three tracks from a brand new album that's just come out, and also a long track in the second hour of the show to help you wind down to bedtime on a Thursday evening. It gets a bit more mellow towards the end of the show. So if you love jazz, you're going to love this show, Jazz London Live on Brooklands Radio. If you're not sure whether you like jazz, give it a try. You might find there's some tracks in there that you really love.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Welcome back. And now here is Jackie's interview with Emily Hughes.
Hello there, Emily. Many thanks for joining us.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
It's great for you to come on the Just Woman show. And before we get going on what a parent guide to GCSE does, it'd be really interesting to find out a bit about your background, because I understand prior to setting this up, you spent 15 years as a maths teacher, head of department, and as a lead practitioner.
I did indeed, yes. I had always wanted to be a teacher and never really thought about anything else. And 15 years down the line, I'd changed my mind. It had got to the point where I decided my sanity was more important than my salary, and I needed to do something different. And so started various different options in terms of business until I had this epiphany about setting up the Parent Guide to GCSE. So that's been pretty much my everything since then.
Right. And also, though, you've had other jobs such as choir director and a shelf stacking ninja at our price, which sounds quite interesting.
I have indeed. Yes, that was one of my many attempts at sort of sales as a teenager. So I got to work at Next and collect a lot of very smart clothes. And I was a shelf stacking ninja at our price. And I worked in gardening and DIY at John Lewis for a while, so I am very good at paint mixing.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, it's been a couple of decades, but I'm sure I could still do it.
I'm sure you could. And also, you're a choir director.
Yes, so that's one of my favourite things to do, and I've really missed it over the last year.
You run a choir now, do you?
Yes, yeah, so it's 2 nights a week, and it's basically my therapy each week. I love it. I get to go and sing, and we have a giggle. We do pop songs. It's a pop choir, so it's all very lighthearted, stuff we know from the charts, classics that we love, and I've really missed them this year. I hadn't realised how big a part of my life it had become, but yeah, we've done all sorts. We've supported charities. We did the Christmas light switch on in Peterborough, which was amazing, and I absolutely love doing it, but it's very much a part-time thing. So,
and what's the name of the choir?
It's Lucy's Pop Choir. So Lucy of Lucy's Pop Choir is actually my little sister. She started the original choir up in York, and then I've started my own branch down here in Peterborough. So it's mostly up north at the moment with my little offshoot.
But, oh, marvellous. Okay. Well, anyway, getting back to Parent Guide to GCSE. So your light bulb moment came, I think, because when you were at parents' evenings, parents always said to you, oh, what can I do to help my children get through their exams? And then you thought, well, I'm going to start up something, a resource to help them.
Well, it was sort of a combination. The moment where everything clicked as an idea was actually then when one of the parents in our daughter's sort of parents Facebook group posted, oh my gosh, how do I help my child with this homework? And they were only in year five at the time, I think, but it was something that is a new technique in maths that we never learned when we were at school. And it's a great way to do it. But if you don't understand what the pictures are talking about, you've got no chance of helping your child with it. And I suddenly realised no one's helping parents. We spend millions of pounds as a country every year, probably even billions, with tutors and revision guides and all of the things for students. But as a parent, when your child's going through this, all you want to do is help. And if you don't know how, that's really difficult because you just feel like your only choice is to nag. And that's no fun.
No, I'm sure. And so what you do is you help parents to equip teenagers with the mindset and skill set to succeed at GCSE, A level and beyond. So how do you do that exactly?
So it's about getting the right advice to our children so that when they're studying at home, they're doing the right things. There's so much work and there's so much pressure put on them that if they don't know the right way to study, which schools are usually pretty good at doing, depending on time and things, but particularly this year with the pressure, it'll all have been squeezed out of the curriculum. If they can do it effectively at home so they can get more done in less time and more effectively so it sinks into their long-term memory, then they're much more prepared for exams. They have much less kind of time spent every evening sat chained to a desk, and they get to actually have a life, maybe even stay sane through the whole process, as do you. So we've got tools such as the revision plan generator, you know, save yourself 3 weeks of scrubbing glitter out of the carpet and buying 47 different colored highlighters, that kind of thing. And revision cheat sheets with useful links to websites, all of the practical stuff. But then also the stuff that as a parent, if you know as you go along and you can be nudging them in the right direction with their mindset, with their revision techniques, with their organisational skills, with their time management, if you can do that as you go along, which is what we do with our membership, we just drip feed a little tiny bit each week. It just makes the whole process so much easier. And the real winning thing, that the secret sauce, I guess, to the membership is that because it's advice coming from us, it's not mum and dad thinking they know everything. And so your teenager doesn't kind of put up the defences.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, our members tend to watch or read the advice together with their child. So that way they're on the same team and it's not a battle. You're their coach rather than their drill sergeant. So that's why it works. It's that little and often approach and working smarter, not harder, so that everyone can be happier throughout the 4 years of fairly intensive exam prep.
Yeah. So looking on your website, you've got some very good testimonials there. So it obviously works.
Well, yeah, our members are fantastic. They are a wonderful, wonderful bunch of people and they help each other out just as much, I feel, as we do. And so it's been lovely to be able to watch some of their journeys through the process. When we started in September 2019, so we were 7 months in, you know, halfway through our first year when suddenly exams were cancelled. And so obviously at that point, everything we'd planned went out of the window.
Yes.
And we had to reassess. We did some stuff working with life skills, you know, financial management, figuring out how credit cards work. What's my payslip going to look like and how do I interpret it? Why are payday loans a really bad plan for teenagers?
What a good idea. Yes. You know,
that kind of stuff. So we pivoted and we helped people through, but we haven't yet got to the point where we've done a whole year with them and then got to see people holding their results and looking really pleased because they've done their exams and they've earned them. So I can't wait for that to happen.
Absolutely.
Hopefully next year.
Yes. So what is the situation this summer then? Are the exams going to be postponed again or what's happening? Do you know?
This year is a bit of a mishmash. So they've left it largely up to schools. It's going to be down to teacher assessment again, but without the algorithm interfering this time. So it's down to the professional judgment of teachers, which is absolutely the way forward if we can't do exams. But they've also said you can do mini exams, mini assessments. So they're not exams. And I think it's about 50-50 as to whether schools are actually doing them or not doing them. So some schools have said, this is what we've done all year. We've got the evidence. We'll build it up as we go along. We'll take your coursework and so on, and it'll all be fine. We'll work it out. Some schools have said, actually, we'd rather do mini assessments. So we're going to do two assessments for every single subject in these 2 weeks. And it feels like exams again. So yeah. It's been really varied across the country.
Indeed.
Parents
yes.
are having a very different experience. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So it works along a model, a membership model then, I guess, that the parents pay you a certain amount every month for all the exercises and help and support. And you're there to guide them through so they can contact you at any time with any queries.
Yes, absolutely. So it's like having a teacher in your pocket at all times so that you're not just relying on the 5 minutes you get at parents' evening. And it's £29.99 a month. It's less than £1 a day. So it's just it's having access to all of the things you need in one place at your fingertips and knowing that it's advice coming from people who get it. Because not only have I taught for 15 years, my husband, who's my partner in the business, taught for 16 years. And we've just put our twins through GCSEs and A-levels. They're now off at uni.
Yes.
So, you know, we've been there, seen it, done it and got the T-shirt.
Indeed. Absolutely. Yes. And then, of course, I was very impressed to hear that you've been on Good Morning Britain. Can you tell us about that? Did you meet Susanna Reid?
Not quite, no. It was Kate Garraway and Alex that were on, and I didn't get to meet anyone because it was during that first results day the year that the algorithm happened.
Oh yeah.
So it was all done via Skype. So I didn't get to go and sit on the chairs and do the proper studio experience, but maybe one day.
Yes, and did you enjoy being on TV?
Oh, it was fabulous. I was worried I was going to be really nervous, but it was just like being, you know, on a Zoom chat, it turned out. And I got to talk about advice for parents as their children were getting their results. You know, what are the next steps? What to do if they perhaps weren't as happy with their results as they could have been, and how to support your child through the roller coaster of emotions.
Oh, fantastic. And you also have a podcast. So I see the latest as an interview with Dr. Mark King, who is the admissions director for Lucy College at Cambridge University. Who is the interviewer, by the way? Because it wasn't your voice, I noticed.
No, that was Paul. So we do sometimes take it in turns.
I see. Your other half.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes.
That's a really good idea to have the podcast with these sorts of people, isn't it?
Well, it's been fabulous. We've had some wonderful guests. We interviewed Joe Valente, who you may know from The Apprentice. It's been lovely to be able to speak to so many different people from so many different fields with such great advice for people.
And what made you start up the podcast?
We wanted to be able to support parents who perhaps weren't in a position to be part of the membership, or it was a little bit soon for them. And we wanted to be able to get some great advice out there for parents. And there's a limit to what I can do. I was a maths teacher. I can speak to my expertise. But we started off with general kind of habit setting. Then we did an episode on English GCSE. You know, how do you revise for English GCSE? And we had an expert English teacher come in. So this, it just seemed like the best way to be able to interview the right people to get the right advice across.
And it's a very, very useful way of, for people to listen in, isn't it? Rather than having to read through posts, they can just you know, put it in their on their phone and listen to it, can't they?
Well, yeah, it's so accessible. Like if you're on the journey to and from school, you can just pop on a podcast. If you're going out for a walk, pop in your headphones and off you go. It's it's a nice, easy way to digest information. Yeah.
Yeah. And I see you've also written a book, The GCSE Survival Guide for Parents. How did that come about?
I was bullied into it by many people. it was the culmination of putting together all the things that we knew we wanted to put into the membership, and it seemed sensible. I'm the sort of person who, with a membership, it would frustrate me slightly because I want to do everything right now. I want all the information so I can make the decisions. I'm one of those people. I like to research things. So I figured to cater for everyone, it made sense to have one place that you could go to just to get that bit of advice, that overview almost of what the process was going to feel like. Because when they're toddlers, or even when they're tiny or you're pregnant, you get all this advice about what to expect and what milestones are going to happen when they're going to start doing this and that and the other. And you've got all these support groups. But none of that happens when they're teenagers. And I think teenagers are often tougher than toddlers, to be honest. So it seemed like a good idea to give that kind of overview to parents and make sure that they had all the advice they needed at their fingertips in whatever format worked best for them. And it's been so well received. It's been amazing. I got to have a chat with Sunetra Sarkar, actually, from Ackley Bridge, and Zoe from Casualty is probably her most famous role, because we sent her a copy of the book because her son's in year 11 and she loved it. And we had a long chat and recorded it, and it's opened so many doors.
Brilliant. And do you have plans for any more books?
I think the Survival Guide to Post 16 is coming next. Again, I'm being bullied into doing it. I haven't started yet. It's vaguely mapped out in my brain. That's as far as it's got. But the first one came together quite quickly, so maybe.
Fantastic, fantastic. And I was very, very interested to see that you're a cat lady. How many cats do you have?
Very much so. I have two cats who are pretty much my everything. I tend to work in bed most mornings because they come up and flop across me before I have a chance to get up. And then I can't possibly move because it wouldn't be fair to them.
Well, no, absolutely not. You can't disturb a cat, no.
They rule the roost, very much.
Absolutely. And also, I gather that you're a fan of Friends and that you can quote every episode. Is that right?
Pretty much, yes. And my daughter, our youngest, is now very much into Friends. So between us, we could do, I think, an episode beginning to end, dialogue and all, the whole
thing. Wow, that's very, very impressive. Do you have a particular favourite episode?
Oh, I don't know.
No,
I remember being very excited when I discovered there was one that I hadn't seen. It was the one with the apothecary table. And I thought I'd seen them all. And then this one popped out, a new one. But it's been a while since I've had that moment of a new one. So,
oh, fantastic. And so we've got the summer coming up. So what advice do you have for parents listening out there to help their kids getting through this summer?
Just keep things ticking over. If you've got a child who's finishing year 11 quite soon, and it will be quite soon, and they've got that long gap before the sixth form, then get them reading around their subjects. So whatever they're studying, A level or BTEC, CTEC, get them reading around it and starting to do some of the preparation for it, because it will make a huge difference when they start. And if they're younger than that, then it's all about kind of making sure that things stay ticking over. So if they're doing a language, get them on an app like Duolingo or Memrise, which lets them do, you know, 5-10 minutes a day, a week, whatever you can get them to do, so that they don't forget everything while they're off. But it doesn't need to be a lot. They have earned a break. I know they've only had 4 weeks of school so far, I think, this year, but it's still been pretty full on. Most of them have been working harder virtually than they would in the classroom. So make sure they get a nice balance of a rest and just keeping things ticking over. Little and often is absolutely the key.
Yes, because I suppose even if they were having homeschooling, it was more intensive than perhaps going into school and having distractions.
I think so. And they didn't get the usual, you know, walking between classrooms even gives them a break, where they don't get that when they're on Zoom lessons. I know our daughter found it really, really challenging, really intensive, and was exhausted at the end of the day having full on Zoom lessons all the time. So, yeah, it's I think it seems easy from a distance, but when you're actually doing it, it's not so much.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about that, Emily. So perhaps you'd like to give us your website address so people can get more information.
Indeed, it is parentguidetogcse.com. That's parentguidetogcse.com, or you can search for the same thing and find us on Facebook.
Okay, thank you very much, Emily. That was Emily Hughes from Parent Guide to GCSE.
There are some great resources on the website, and the book GCSE Survival Guide for Parents looks really informative. I only wish it had been in print when my children were taking their exams. Please stay with us, because after our ad break, I'll be chatting to Eleanor Ramona, a singer-songwriter, about, amongst other things, women's safety.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.
Do you find working from home a pain in the neck, literally? Or maybe you're starting to struggle with lower back pain? Well, ask West Chiropractic to take a look. We help thousands of people in Surrey with back, neck pain, sciatica, and headaches. We have a multitude of services from a wide variety of practitioners, from chiropractic to sports massage, shockwave therapy, plus our decompression table, which helps chronic sciatic clients as well as chronic low back patients. We investigate the cause of your pain and help you get back to doing what you love doing. Read all of our 5-star online reviews on Google, and why not book a free discovery visit at westchiropractic.co.uk.
There's no doubt that running a business is tough, but at the moment, it's even tougher than ever. And that's where we can help. Plan C are a team of Surrey business professionals offering free advice for local businesses during these testing times. We offer solutions to your most pressing business challenges. From marketing to human resources, PR to Google Ads, business strategy to website design. Post your questions at yourplanc.co.uk. We'll put them to the team, come back to you with our thoughts, observations, and most importantly, practical solutions. It's a free service, so why not see if we can help? www.yourplanc.co.uk.
If you love film music of all kinds, then Hunter's Hollywood Hits and Britflix is the show for you. Every Thursday, escape into the exciting world of the movies with soundtracks that transport you right into the films. From special shows dedicated to legendary composers to theme shows dedicated to different genres, you can hear a mixture of classic themes as well as well-known songs that feature in films. So, all you film fans, be sure to catch Hunter's Hollywood Hits and Britflix with me, Suzanne Hunter, every Thursday at 9 p.m, only on Brooklyn's Radio.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women. For our final interview, here I am chatting with Eleanor Ramona. Eleanor, before we talk about what you're currently involved with, welcome, by the way, can you tell us a little bit about what's brought you to this point, i.e. your career history?
Yes, of course. So I was brought up on the Greek island of Skathos. That is where my family is at the moment. And I've always been someone who's loved music. I've always been someone who enjoyed being out there performing. Even at a young age, I was always on the stage performing, and being involved in anything to do with being on stage was my jam. Then going forward a few years, I came to the Academy of Contemporary Music in Guildford to study music when I was 18. And I just fell in love with the place, with Surrey, and with music even more, because I was able to really express myself as an artist. I was able to meet other artists and people who were really relatable. And it made me who I am today, with all the experiences that I had, all the things that I went through there in a positive light, and here I am, sort of thing. It wasn't an easy journey. It still isn't. It's a lot of ups and downs, as anything in the arts is, especially during these times. It's a very different way of doing anything. It's been a good journey so far, and I've really learned about myself, I think, throughout the years. I've learned a lot about myself, actually, as a person as well as an artist.
So let me just get this straight. You swapped the beautiful Greek island of Skathos for Surrey.
When it comes to stuff like music, and it comes to the arts and things like that, you can't really be anywhere else but London or one of those big cities. So for me, the ideal world is the UK. Awesome. I'm lucky enough to have a family who was supportive and who always has been supportive of that. My mum's from the UK. She's British, hence my accent. And, you know, I was very lucky to have that opportunity, really, to get the best of both worlds. You know, in the summer, in an ideal world, obviously pre-COVID and post-COVID, I'll be definitely going back there. And then in the winter, I've got a full-time job. I'm able to do what I need to do musically. And I can't really complain, to be honest. I'm very, very lucky and very happy with what's going on with, you know, my way of life, I guess.
Sure, sounds brilliant to have that lovely sort of combination of the two that you can do. That's great. So for you, obviously being in the music industry, what comes first for you? Is it the melody or the lyrics? Or is it...
It depends what mood I'm in. So if I'm... a lot of the time it is the lyrics, because I'll write it down first. I'll be like, I feel like this today, and I'll write it all down, and lo and behold, they'll turn into lyrics. But sometimes it is the melody. If I'm in the shower or somewhere really inconvenient, I have to say, a melody will come and I'll go, oh, I need to record that, right, you know, get on that quickly, voice note. It all depends on how I'm feeling. If I'm feeling quite low, the lyrics will come first, actually. If I'm feeling in quite a good mood, I find myself making up these melodies and writing. So it all really depends on the mood of the day, I guess.
Sure. And what happens if it's early hours of the morning? Do you have to wake yourself up and get something down and then go back to sleep?
Sometimes I have dreams where I've written a really cool song, and then I'll wake up and go, oh, damn, I should have written that down. And then I'll remember some of it. And then I've had times before where I've, like, the melody's been amazing in my head, and then I've woken up and I've recorded it half asleep, and I've listened back going, what the heck was that? You know, I'll listen to it later in the day going, oh yeah, I recorded something this morning, didn't I? And I'll listen back and go, was that what was in the dream, or is that just something that I've made up in my head when I woke, you know? So
yeah,
it's a process. Sometimes I'll be awake all night, or late at night, because that's when my creativity really comes out. In the morning I'm more like, oh, work, oh. And then in the evening, I'll be quite tired in the evening, and then by 1 o'clock at night, I'll be like, I need to get to sleep now, come on. And my creative brain will be coming out then. And it's quite difficult to go to sleep sometimes, because I'm trying to think of all these cool ideas, and I'm trying to think of all these cool songs that maybe could come out soon. And yeah, it's a funny one, that.
Yeah. And I know that, obviously, changing the subject slightly, that the issue of mental health is really important to you. And that on one of your blogs on Instagram, you wrote that music definitely saved your life more than once. So tell us about that.
So I had a really big realization not long ago, maybe a couple of nights ago, where I just realized that in my life, I've had quite a lot of difficulties. I've had quite a lot of things happen which probably shouldn't have happened to me at that age, and things like that. And music has been the only thing that's been consistent. So sometimes a lot of my memories have been regressed and a lot of things I have forgotten. But I remember to this day my favorite songs as a young child. I might not remember other things, but I remember music. And I remember the song, and I remember the feeling, and I remember the music and how it made me feel at that point in my life. And for me, that is the reason I'm doing music. I'm not out here doing music to make it, in inverted commas. When I was younger, that was what I wanted. But now I realise that it runs so much deeper in me than that.
Yeah. I know that, obviously, you wanted to talk about the safety of women and girls in particular, didn't you? You wanted to sort of raise that.
Yeah, I just think I've got a platform. I might as well use it for a good cause and a positive cause. I think there's been a lot in the news recently about the safety of women and what things we can do to educate each other and help each other out. And I just think it's a really important topic to be raising on shows like this that are out there, people are listening to, because someone might resonate with that. Someone might appreciate it being mentioned, or someone might relate to it and think, oh, that's good that they're talking about it so openly. Because I think one of the things recently that's happened is this whole movement after Sarah Everhard really tragically was murdered. I think every single woman was like, oh god, like, that could have been me. And I also feel that if 2020 hadn't happened, would we have actually noticed that as much as we did? So there's quite a positive thing that has come out, unfortunately, of 2020, is that we've actually been at home, we've not been doing much, and we've been able to really nail down on this topic of women's safety and what it means to us. And with, you know, without this lockdown, without being so isolated, I guess, from your normal day-to-day stuff, we might not have noticed that this is such an important thing to talk about. Oh. And me, myself, I'm sure you yourself as well, sometimes you do protect yourself. You do worry about walking home at night, or, you know, how you're going to get home, and things that we just shouldn't really worry about in 2021. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you're hopeful that off the back of this, something good will come, that, you know, more will be done, perhaps, you know, to raise awareness in schools in particular and that kind of thing. Or what do you feel?
I would hope so. I mean, without going into much detail, I've experienced quite a lot of assault and abuse at school, secondary school, and the teachers disregarded it as me being negligent, and nothing was done about it. And I'm 31 now, and I'm still feeling difficult feelings around those topics and around the feelings when I think about school, because I wasn't helped. I didn't have support. I was just told, oh, silly girl, you shouldn't have been wearing that, or you shouldn't have been drinking that. And there was no investigation into what happened, and there was just victim blaming constantly. And I think that really triggered a lot of people when Sarah died, and everyone was like, oh, she shouldn't have been walking home at night. She should have done this. She should have done that. We did it all. Well, I didn't, but a lot of people did it automatically, almost as a default. And I think it's just so important to just stop doing that. I mean, it's very dark ages, that, you know, that whole idea of that it's the woman's fault, that we should be the ones that change, that we should be the ones that don't walk down that road at night. We should be able to walk wherever we want at night, whenever we want, however dressed or undressed we are. We should be educating people at schools and at that level where they are still youngsters. They still can learn about consent. They're still open to learning about consent, so they can learn and be better people, I guess, because it starts from somewhere. It doesn't just start from, you don't just come out of the womb an adult. You've got to learn, and you've got a lot of things that happened to you as a child make you the person you are as an adult. And if you've got these young men in schools who are not learning about consent, you know, I understand that hormones are a thing, you know, sometimes people can get a bit out of control or whatever, but if you're learning about what is consent, and you know that you might feel that way, but that doesn't mean that that is okay. You can learn to control that and hopefully prevent what's been going on recently in the news and what's still going on behind closed doors.
So do you feel that things like PSHE lessons have got a big part to play in all of this?
Yeah, I do. We didn't have anything like that in school. We didn't have any lessons in consent. Sexual health wasn't a thing in our school. We weren't taught any of that. It was like taboo. It was almost embarrassing to discuss that. So when it was happening to me and I was getting this treatment by my peers, I was embarrassed to come forward and say anything to somebody, because it was like, this is an embarrassing thing. This is a sexual thing. This is something that I have to hide and be ashamed of as a girl, because it's my fault because I'm a girl. And it's not okay. You know, it's a really dark ages way of thinking. But I think the more that schools are educated at young age through these educational systems, the more that it's openly talked about, the more that you can have these lessons and these talks, and maybe survivors coming into sessions and saying, you know, this is what happened to me as an adult because of what happened to me as a child. Maybe people will think twice about abusing their fellow peer or abusing their friend or using their position of power against other people.
Yeah. I think sometimes what concerns me a little bit is sometimes the media swing from one extreme to the other. You know, the only thing that worries me a little bit is, what about the men or the boys that are falsely accused, you know? And that does happen as well. So we have to kind of look out for both ends of the spectrum whilst also making girls all aware of how they can protect themselves. Would you agree?
I think there's a saying that I saw the other day, and I think it's just so on point. It's not women against men. It's us against perpetrators. And that's the thing. Everything needs to be investigated. Like you said, there are unfortunately false allegations against women and men that come out, and they come out as false. And, you know, people have believed them, they've investigated, and it's come out as false. But we need to have that mentality that not everything is a false accusation just because it's come from a woman. Do you know what I mean? It's got to
be open investigation
until proved otherwise. And I think in this day and age, we have the power, sounds really like almost hippie, but we have the power to change it. We do. But we just all need to work together. Like I said, not us against men. We need the men too, you know, they will protect us, and they can teach their fellow men how to behave with us. You know, I've had a lot of guys come to me and go, oh God, is this okay? Or what should I do if I walk on the behind a woman on the street? And they want to learn, which is amazing. You know, they want to help us. And that's what it's all about. It's about us all coming together, because feminism isn't about female rights. It's about equal rights.
Yeah.
And I pride myself as a feminist because of that.
I mean, it's great that we're having this dialogue. I mean, you know, sadly it had to come from a very tragic event, but hopefully from that some good will come, you know, that we will be more awake to what we can do. And and again, I feel a bit sorry for schools, because everything seems to come back to schools as well, like their responsibilities to teach children about, but obviously it comes from home as well.
Oh, absolutely. sometimes it's the culture from home, and it's seeing your parents behave in a certain way that you think is okay, regardless of what the school says. You can say, oh, but my parents do it, so why the school's wrong? There is that dynamic. And I think it just has to come from everybody, like I've said before, everyone just coming together and helping each other out, teaching each other, educating each other, asking questions that may be taboo. Ask those questions. It's not embarrassing. It's a natural thing of life, you know. Sexuality and sex is a natural thing.
What do you think that women could do to protect themselves better?
People might not agree with me on this, but I feel like Sarah did everything right. She walked the right way in the litter street. She was wearing non-revealing clothing. I put that in inverted commas. She was on the phone to her partner. She was calling her partner, telling him that she was coming home. She did all the right things. What we need to do is we need to educate the perpetrators. We need to get them to stop assaulting people, because at the end of the day, we shouldn't need to have to do anything different. We should, you know, we've been doing this for decades. You know, women have been walking down the road in long frocks from, you know, the 40s to now in more modern attire, and we're still getting assaulted. Yeah. It's not us. Unfortunately, it's the perpetrators that think it's okay, you know. And I think that's the bottom line. They need to stop doing what they're doing. We shouldn't have to change what we do.
But I guess I suppose if there were things like better lighting around, might they sort of think twice about doing that? Do you know what I mean? Put people off in some way as well, help it a little bit.
I would hope that. But I mean, what happened to me was in a classroom setting. So you would hope that better lighting would sort that out. And in an ideal world, yes, better lighting, maybe more CCTV on the streets, maybe police patrols, different, you know, undercover police. I think they're discussing at the moment to have undercover police in clubs, which I think is a great idea. It might make people think twice. You know, that's that whole putting that fear into the perpetrator, because these people are cowards. They're preying on women. So if we do have these extra measures, like you've stated, things that might put them off, I hope it does solve it. But a lot of these people, unfortunately, have no self-control. And if they've gotten away with it for years, they will keep assaulting and keep offending. And I think it comes from the core up, this education for them. But like you said, of course, you know, these measures shouldn't even need to be discussed. But of course, it is a good thing to think that maybe better lighting would help. I mean, it would be good to think that. But I know people who have been assaulted in broad daylight, and it's not stopped the person doing it because they can. And it's very difficult. It's a difficult topic, because on one hand, you think, yeah, in logistically, you think, yeah, these things should prevent somebody from doing that. But unfortunately, it's not always the case.
Of course. So trying to end on a positive, what's the big dream for the future, Eleanor, for you?
So for me, the big dream for the future is just keep doing what I'm doing. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I would love to be a sync artist, like the films and stuff. So recently, one of my songs was on ITV. I don't know if you've seen or heard of McDonald and Dodds.
Yeah.
So one of my songs played in the background of that. And I found out today, actually, that 6.7 million people streamed into that show.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, it's a really, like, I guess, a really positive way to end this, actually, is that this is where I want to be in 5 years' time. I want to be getting out there, getting my music out on these platforms, and I guess getting the rights as well, because I'm the songwriter as well. So, you know, that's where I'd love to see myself. And especially in this day and age of COVID, that's almost like a new revolutionary way of getting yourself out there. Because unfortunately, at the moment, there are no gigs right now. And for me to say that during a pandemic, I achieved that is really great. And I'm really grateful for anyone who has tuned into that show, because you're helping me out as well.
Well, sadly, Eleanor, I could talk to you all day, but we've run out of time. So if the listeners would like to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
So if you'd like to get in touch with me, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram handle is Eleanor Ramona Official. That's spelt E-L-E-N-A Ramona Official. Find me on there, follow me, have a little chat, send me a message, and I hope you enjoy the journey.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That was Eleanor Ramona from Eleanor Ramona Official on Instagram and Facebook.
Thank you.
What an inspirational young lady. I'm sure she will go far. So we'd like to thank all our guests today on Just Women. That's Mandy Elliott from thefocusacademy.co.uk, Emily Hughes from parentguidetogcse.com, and Eleanor Ramona from Eleanor Ramona Official on Instagram and Facebook. And as always, thanks to my fellow presenters, Mandy Dynley and Jackie Mitchell. And a reminder as always that we're keen to hear about local women with interesting lives. So if you know of someone you think would be great for our show, please email justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details, and we'll get in touch with them and hopefully get them on a future show. Details of past and future guests are on our website, that's brooklandsradio.co.uk www.facebook.com/justwomen. And you can find us on Facebook too at @justwomen.br and Twitter at Brooklands Radio. So thank you for listening and join us again next week for Just Women at 1 o'clock on Tuesday, repeated 8 o'clock on Thursday. Until then, it's goodbye from the Just Women team.
This is Just Women every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.